You are listening to Adventist World Radio, the voice of hope, the station that cares for you. It comes to you every Wednesday.
Thank you very much, Richard. And I'm your brother, Idris Suleiman. I want to tell you that today we have a lot of things in store for you. Don't go away today. First, we're going to listen to our health talk. And then after health talk, we are going direct to the devotion. Then after devotion, I want to tell you that we have a nice African gospel music that is just be recorded for you. I want to tell you that we love you so much. And don't go away. Keep tuned.
For more, just listen to these beautiful songs.
Let us prepare ourselves to listen to some health talks.
My name is Kobozi Simon. Our topic for today is antisocial behavior. Antisocial behavior is any way that a person acts which is not approved of by the group to which he belongs. Since the group itself determines what is or is not acceptable, what may be correct in one group may be regarded as antisocial or wrong in another group. In general, however, most groups think that the following types of behavior are wrong, and these are the things we shall consider as antisocial behavior for the purpose of this lesson. Lying, avoiding school or school refusal, stealing, violence, aggressive behavior, arson or fire setting, drug abuse, alcoholism, running away from home, that is wandering, sex offenses, pregnancy, abortions. Now let us tackle it one by one. Lying. Lying is unusual before 4 years. It is usually a compensation for lonelessness, insecurity, and lack of affection, that is love. It stops as soon as these are corrected and the child has no need to compensate for them. It is important to remember that making belief is an essential part of thinking in childhood, though it may easily be mistaken for lying in young children. But abnormal, persistent, and apparently motiveless lying is a feature of delinquents where there is a severe disturbances of personality. Avoiding school or school refusal. This is simply defined as avoiding school. Children who play tyrant, leave home to go to school but never reach school. They usually make sure to come back home at the time they would be expected to if they had exactly been to school. They may wander around alone or join their friends with whom they may engage in gang delinquents behavior? Is he stealing or fighting? There may be many reasons for this type of behavior. This may include anti-authority attitudes, learning difficulties, high proportion of tyrants, have severe reading, writing difficulties, bullying by other children or by staff, overcrowded classes, boredom, various attractions from outside school. Trances should be differentiated from school phobia, which is caused by anxiety over leaving home. School phobia is commoner in girls than boys and more frequent found in younger children, 5 to 6 years, than in older ones. The children are usually over dependent on their mothers, who may be overprotective. There are often severe emotional difficulties between the parents. The children are very anxious about leaving their mothers. Away from home, they develop acute fears about what may be happening at home in their absence. Often afraid that their parents will die or will not be there on their return. 2. Stealing. Stealing is one of the so-called comporting offense, in the sense that children who steal derived some comfort or consolation from the act of stealing. At the first, the children steal small amounts of money and food from their mother or a loved mother substitute, such as favorite aunt. Gradually, the stealing extends beyond the home. Usually, the children have no close friends, though they may have many acquaintances. They use the stolen money or stolen objects to try and buy friendship. The stealing or the stolen things are thus a substitute for love of affection and security. This type of delinquent behavior is usually associated with profound difficulties between the children and their parents, especially the mother. Broken marriages with step-parents are particularly common. The family puts too much value on money and material possessions, and the parents may spend so much of their time accumulating wealth that they have no time for the child. Also, one or both parents are usually over-authoritarian. The parents feel and behave as though material possessions were a substitute for love or affection. Earlier emotional deprivation with the separation from the mother may also be an important factor. 4. Violence, aggressive behavior. By aggressive is meant violent, attacking, and destructive behavior that results in pain to the victim. It is closely related to increased tension and rage or anger states that result from frustration. Frustration occurs when individuals are prevented from or are for any person unable to obtain what he wants or to achieve their goals. It occurs when one's goal-seeking behavior is blocked. Aggression can be direct or displaced. Direct aggression is that aggression that is directed against the individual or object that is the source of the frustration. In ordinary play situations, when one child takes a toy or some other valued object for another child, the second child is likely to attack the first one in an attempt to regain that which was taken. Even with adults, the victim of a slighting remark is likely to to repay in kind, though for many adults the aggression may be verbal rather than physical. The anger produced by blocking one's goal seeking actively tends to find expression in some form of direct attack. In experiments with children, a barrier or some form of obstacle is used as the blocking mechanism, the sources of the frustration. In these experiments, the children's first attempt at solving the problem is to get over the barrier or remove it. Aggression of this kind is not necessarily hostile. It may be a learned way of solving a problem. When the obstacle is another person, the first tendency is to attack that individual, treating the person as a barrier. But this may not be the only way in which the problem of frustration is solved through aggression. Thank you for listening.
Here is good news for you. We have a free Bible correspondence school that offers courses on basic health, steps to Christ, Bible discovery, the book of Daniel, and Revelation, and a personal Bible study guide.
Therefore, to get these courses, call us on telephone number 0782-710-908 or write to us, Messages of Love, Bible Correspondence School, P.O. Box 823, Arua, Uganda.
It is right time to listen to the Word of God.
Greeting to you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today with you here in the studio is your brother Charles Lagu. Today I would like to share together with you a topic which say, caring for our bodies. You know, my brothers and sisters who are listening to me, we are not belonging to ourselves. We are not the one who originated ourselves. There's somebody who is responsible looking after us. Because we are gift from his hand. He is the one who created us. We have been created in the image of God. So we have been created to reflect his character, to extend his love, and to extend his service to us. Each of us, our lives are a gift in this world. And all of this gift, God expects it to be impacting certain services to other people. Nobody has been created in this world just for nothing. Each of us has been created with a purpose. And because you and I have been created with a purpose, God wanted to see us grow up and fulfill the purpose by which he created us. Even before other people cry here, when we die, when we fell sick, before even anybody has been touched in his heart, maybe your parent, maybe your brothers or your closest relative, God who created you is the first person who will grieve first because of seeing that you have not fulfilled the purpose by which he created you. So because of this, God expects us to stay long. Why? God wants us to extend the service which he wanted us to do to our fellow brothers and sisters with whom we are sharing life together. And because of this, for us to have a life which could be fairly long, we need to care for our body. You know, our body can be maintained, like how people maintain machines. Many people buy a lot of machines, maybe radio cassette, bicycle, motorcycle, vehicle. But those people who try to maintain their vehicles, their cameras, their bicycle, their motorcycle, their vehicle proper, by maintaining, by washing it, by trying to even drive it carefully, their vehicle stay longer. The lifespan of their vehicle will push to be a little bit longer. Even it look new, likewise to ourselves. Even though God created us with an amazing kind of a material which have been all put together with us, our brain, our digestive system, the way our blood flow, the way our muscle function, they are so all amazing, we cannot manage to understand them. Even the way how he imbued within us, in our blood, our immune system, which resists the disease, which attack our body, is so amazing and wonderful. But God wanted us to help this system which he created in us. God wanted us to care for our body. Then how can we care for our body? There are a lot of natural remedy. For instance, God has given us water. We need to drink a lot of clean water every day. And we need not to overwork our body. And we need to have a rest. And we need to eat a proper clean food regularly. This is a factor which can keep us to be clean and even to be careful. And we need to wash our body. And we need to avoid to take some acid, some chemical, those things which can affect our body, those things which can be dangerous to our health, we need to avoid to take them. And when I try to glance and then try to look back from the beginning. Oh, good God created this world so perfect, with all the wind blowing there, so with a lot of perfumes of very fragrance of sunflower just there. Clean and wonderful. Nothing was impure. Everything was so perfect. And even Adam, the first person, was so healthy and giant from there. And his mental capability was so high. He has a perfect, reasonable mental reasoning. He'll be able to discriminate what is right and what is wrong from there. And God is the one who is in charge of our body. But now we went to look down this day. Look at our brothers and sisters who are there, down in Dandaya, down there in the club, taking a lot of different type of liquor. Others there destroying their body by taking even alcohol. Others destroying themselves even chewing manungi. Others destroying their body by smoking. Others destroying their body even by taking opium from there. And then when you try to say to them, why are you doing this? Why are you doing it like this? What are you saying? Are my body yours? People say like that. They say like that. Al-Kefa, he is the one looking after himself. But no, my brother, no uncle, no my auntie, your body is not yours. Your body belongs to God. Let us hear what the Bible says for us in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Hear what the Bible says. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God is living in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not of yourself. You have been bought with a price. Even the price by which you have been bought, the amount cannot be got. Presently, the highest note which we use here is dollar. Everyone who has a dollar has a man in his hand. But the way how you and I, we have been bought with the highest price. Do you know what price Christ has paid for us? He didn't pay gold. He didn't give dollar. Christ gave his own blood. He gave his own blood so that you and I will live longer. So that you and I will have everlasting life. And so that you and I will be cleansed from our sin. And so that you and I will have a clean body. And so that you and I will have a sound mind. So, my brothers, like what other people use, you are not Al-Kefa. You are not for your own. I'm not for my own. God is in charge of me. And I am accountable in the way how I use my body. And you too, my brother and sister, you too also are accountable for how you manage your body. If you misuse it, if you contaminate it, if you spoil it, God is going to account for you. Because the Bible says clearly, you are not of your own. You have been bought by a price. And your body is the temple. It's the place where the Holy Spirit will come and dwell. And God have given you and do on you many things. God have given you talents. God have given you gift. God have given you strength. God wanted you to help his people through this gift he has given to you. Some of you are nurses, doctors, engineers, hunters. All these are gifts are to help God people. Others are the one cutting trees for burning charcoal. Others are the one they are laying bricks. Others are the one building there. All these are useful work to help God's children. Then if you die away, who will do the work which you are supposed to be doing? If I die away because of misuse of my body, or by maybe drinking a lot of alcohol, or by smoking opium, or by eating a lot of marungi, then I die. What will I benefit from there? God put a lot in me. He purchased me by a high price, and therefore he wanted me also to do great before him. Expected me to contribute also to help my fellow brothers and my fellow sisters. So my uncle, my brothers, my auntie, don't cut the life God has given for you to be sold. And you are not for your own. Your body has been bought by a price. And God has expected us to do something instead, not destroying it. God expects us to give joy. God expects us to give sacrifice to him. That's what we see in the book of Romans, what Paul is saying here, chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, I tell you. Paul is saying here, instead, my brother, I beg you kindly, now, by the mercy of God, to present your body as a living sacrifice. How can we give our body as a living sacrifice? As I've been saying to you before, our lives are all coming from the hand of God. Our lives are gift from God. And because of our life, what we are doing to other people, we are saving life of other people. We are extending service to other people. And this service continues to smell. It's going giving joy and happiness to God. If somebody is sick, you go there and you build his house. If somebody is there sick, cannot manage to work, you go and even fetch water for that person. You are doing a sacrifice. You are helping. You are extending God's service to other people. And so Paul say, therefore I beseech you, I beg you to offer your body as a living sacrifice, which is so holy, acceptable unto God, which is also reasonable service to God. God has created us with reason. Then the reason which we have been created is to extend service to God. Then we are doing a reasonable service to him. This is what God expected from us. It also, again, see in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, which, what did God say? To whom did our body belong? We are trying to see. Whatever therefore you eat or drink, or whatever so you do, do all to the glory of God. That's what I've been saying. God has regulated those things which can support our body, those things which can make our body to be strong and can grow to be fit. And God also, by his wisdom, has sent some other things which is created. They are not food for us to eat. They are not good for us to be contaminated with. They are not good for us to taste them, even to eat them. So here Paul is saying, whatever we do, whatever we drink, whatever we eat, we must to do them to give glory to God. My brothers, who among you is eating lizard? Who among you is eating his own feces? No one is doing that because they are not food. So there are other things which will be today we are using. They look to be food, but they are not look food. Like opium, marungi, tobacco. These are not good food. God has created us everything from the beginning and then command us to eat them. And those things which are food, he already made them for us. God even give us freedom to eat them free without any problem. God told us not to eat them. And he didn't allow us even to touch them. And if we try to touch them and eat them, they will spoil our body and they even will limit our lifespan. Let's try to see his command from the time of creation. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, let us see what God said. What kind of food did he give to those of Adam and Eve? And God said, behold, I have given you every plant bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which has seed in it fruit. To you it shall be for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creep upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given energy, every green plant for food. And it was so. Look, from the time when God created the world, with every food in it, he have given them freedom to eat greens. He have given freedom for them to eat those things which can supply energy for their body. Nothing God commanded them to eat which will spoil and to be harm for their body. And God created all of them from there. And we know, even after that, God created all these things like that, everything have been perfect. And then because of we committed sin, and our sin has brought a problem to us. And then when the flood came, again, when the water swept everything, then all the crops have been destroyed. Also, God came down and pointed to Noah what kind of food they can eat, which can give them strength, which can support their body, and which can even keep their mind to be sober. When you try to look in the book of Genesis chapter 7 here, after the flood, when God came to Noah, also he speaks something. And the Lord said unto Noah, come you and all your house into the ark, for you have seen righteous before me in the generation. Of every clean beast you shall take to you by seven, the male and his female, and of beasts and that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Look, even the time when God was saving Noah to go in the ark, God is still identifying other things which he wants his people to eat. For those pair of animals which are clean, like our cow, goat, and sheep, and chicken, God tell them to go into seven pairs. And those ones which are not clean, like fox, dogs, they have been allowed to go only two pairs. So God know all this. You know other things, other creatures which God created them here? Others like shrimp, they are to clean this world. Like the old jackals here, we can see some of them. Eagles, they are the ones to keep our environment to be clean. When other animals die there, they are the ones to sweep them from there. But we human beings, sometimes we go and eat this thing together with us here. And then they bring to us sickness. And they even contaminate our brain, even contaminate our mind, even bring sickness into our own body. So God always differentiates those things which are clean and those things which are not clean. God has tried to show them the difference. They try to turn to the book of Deuteronomy and see which type of animal God has commanded his people to eat. Then what type of animal also God has commanded his people not to eat. So they try to see the difference from there. Everything in this world are not created for human beings to eat. There are others which are just created to be the design of this world. They are not supposed to be eaten. Even in our own house there, if you try to look at the watch, at the back of your wife, Even see that beautiful flower which you hang there. Are you able to eat all of them? No. Everything in the house are useful, but they are not free to be eaten. Even every food which we grow sometimes are all good, but they are not liable to be eaten. So God created everything here in the world, but he didn't allow us to eat all of them. So even among the animals, there are certain animals which he told us to eat, and then there are certain animals which God commanded us not to eat. Let's try to see the example of those animals in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2 to 20. Yes, here, now God is saying, do not eat any detestable thing. These are the animals you may eat. The ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the ibex, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. You may eat any animal that has a split hoof and divided two and that chew the cud. Try to mark this. Among the animals which God has created, God wants us to eat those animals which has a split hoof and they are able to rest guard again. They are able to chew their cuds again after they have eaten in their stomach, and then they will try to bring it to their mouth again to eat again what they have eaten. These are the type of animal which God wants us to eat. However, of those that chew the cud or that have a split hoof completely divided, you may not eat the camel, the rabbit, or the coney. Although they chew the cud, they do not have a split hoof. They are ceremonial unclean before you. Here is another reason. There are other animals which have a divided hoof, but they are unable to chew the cud. They are unable to raise the cud again. And these are the example of camel, rabbits, and coney. And these are the animals which are considered to be ceremonial unclean. And likewise, the pig is also unclean. Although it has a split hoof, it does not chew the cud. You are not to eat their meat or touch their carcass. Of all these creatures living in the water, you may eat any that has fins and scale. But anything that does not have fin and scale, you may not eat. For you, it is unclean. Are you seeing? For those things which live in the water, they must have a fin and they must have a scale. That's why we cannot manage to eat hippo. It's not advised for us to eat even crocodiles. Crocodiles have a scale, but they don't have fin. So these are the type of animals which live in the water. God has ordained us not to eat them. Why did God allow us not to eat? We don't know. God is the creator. And then he is also our redeemer. God is like a big doctor. When you have asthma, you have a cough, you have a diarrhea, you have a complication of your lung, a doctor will say to you, please, uncle, don't smoke. Uncle, don't move in a dusty place. Uncle, don't drink. So the only thing for you to survive, to prolong your life, is to listen to what your doctor told you to do. And God is our biggest doctor. All our substances, all our makeup, all our structure, all our body, God is the one who knows the function. And whatever he says for us, no, not to eat, we are just to say yes and say to him, thank you, not to eat it. Because he knows the reason. And even by the way, all these animals which we have been talking about here, the pigs, the jackals, the vultures, even people who are able to reason, even without the cause of God, they are not eating all these animals. Try to look at the dirtiness of the pigs, which always feast in the shelters, eat even this unclean thing, lie in the dirty water. Would you be pleased to eat such kind of animal? When you see like that, even pretend to vomit. They are unclean, even the way their behavior is just awkward in front of people. So God told us not to eat those kind of animals, so that our body will be clean and our life be long, and will do long service to God. This is the purpose which God wants us not to eat this animal.
We have come to the end of our programs for tonight. You will listen to some more programs next Wednesday at the same time. May God bless you.